belki basit şey, doğa şey.
That's somebody here in Stafford today, like a copy of God's Word, offered to you quite freely. You're simply and only for the taking. Word of God written for the purpose, testimony of God that you might believe concerning His Son Jesus Christ, that you might have life, eternal life that is in His name, through believing, faith, the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. I'd like to have a copy of God's Word, be informed, enlightened, digest, study, meditate upon God's Word, who knows but may be He gives you the light and the life that you presently don't have. It's offered to you freely. You'd like one, I come and ask for one gladly, place into your hand. Word of God, of course, is God's own testimony concerning the grace. The grace that is, that's come to us through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. By Moses in the Old Testament, we get the law of God that condemns, that points the finger, that judges, that shreds our self-righteousness, that strips us of any righteous standing before God whatsoever. Moses, law cannot save you, says God. It's grace that you need. And grace, of course, is that which, well, you and I don't deserve. Grace is the last thing that we deserve. But the New Testament, it testifies to us of that grace that has come. Word of God, the New Testament reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, Christians, that is, believers, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar, chosen, particular people, zealous of good works." The grace of God that brings salvation is what the grace of God does. Grace, of course, is the very opposite to what you deserve. Penalty of God's law, punishment eternally, presently, always, ever, nothing but condemnation. Without the grace of God, that condemnation comes to you because, not just because of what you've thought, what you've said and done, that too, but no, sinners by nature, says God, conceived in sin, born in sin, we come into the world with sinful natures. Out of those sinful natures, of course, comes the sinful practice. The things, of course, that you see, the ugliness, that you see in your world and in your society today. It all comes out. All the nasty stuff, the bad stuff, you know, that you complain about, that you wish would go away but never do anything about it. It comes out of the sinful natures of men and women the world over and throughout the town of Stafford too. But of course, penalty, punishment, because of that sinful state and condition that you've inherited from your parents, and that sinful practice that comes from those sinful natures, condemnation to the uttermost is what's deserved. But the gospel, the good news is that the grace of God that brings salvation from that state and condition has appeared. The grace of God, the opposite to condemnation, to the penalty, the punishment. Grace, of course, is free. The free grace of God, the free gift of God, that is to those who believe, those who trust in God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Gift, of course, is something that you can't work for, you can't be good for, religious for, or anything else. It's a gift simply given and simply received. The condemnation, the judgment, the punishment that's due to you, it's, you know, like prison. Prison is what you deserve. The prison house of eternal hell and damnation. But of course, the penalty, punishment, well, you know, that doesn't change people. That doesn't reform them. I mean, in your prison system today, that's what they talk about, but prisons aren't supposed to be reformative. They're penal, punishment, penalty. And that, of course, is what criminals, and that's what sinners against God deserves. But like I say, that doesn't change people. It doesn't reform them. When you punish them, that's all it does, all it's supposed to do. But grace, you see, changes. Grace brings salvation. Grace brings the free forgiveness of God. That is forgiveness with God, the very heart, essence of the gospel, and the good news. That there is forgiveness with God. And that through grace, through the free grace of God, a person may obtain whatever they may have been, whatever they may have done, however they may have lived, however degenerate, depraved, that is forgiveness to be had. The essence, the heart of the gospel, the grace of God that brings salvation to those who trust, to those, that is, who believe. The grace of God, my friends, the free grace of God, simply received by faith. But that grace, of course, that brings salvation, it brings forgiveness, it brings eternal life, it brings the hope that is beyond this world, this life, hope beyond the grave, hope for eternity, the hope of the gospel, a hope that doesn't disappoint, not the hopes of this world, not the empty, vain hopes, my friends, of the philosophies of the world that many today trust in, but hope that does not, never disappoints, the hope of eternal life, the hope, my friends, in face of the despair that fills your world today. The grace of God, it brings salvation. It saves people. It saves them from the wretchedness of their unbelieving life. It saves them from the wretchedness of their sin, of their depravity. It saves them from those natures in which they were conceived and born and in which they live. It saves them. It brings salvation. It turns them around. It turns them inside out. It turns them facing the other way. Instead, my friends, instead of living godless, ungodly, instead of living for self and for sin, my friends, it turns them around. Grace of God, not just the word. Oh, I know you sing about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But you sing without any understanding of what grace is. It's a power, it's a dynamic of God to change wicked, unbelieving, and godless sinners. It's the power, my friends, to change the nature of the sinner and to bring them to a knowledge of God, to bring them to a knowledge, the assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this very day. So the grace of God, my friends, it brings salvation. It's powerful, it's mighty. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Not everyone in the world head for head. No, it's a particular grace given only to those whom God gives it to. Those whom he has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he draws to his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, no, it's a particular grace, not given to everyone head for head. It's the power of God unto salvation, not for everyone who's religious, but for everyone who believes. Those who believe in the Son of God, no flesh shall ever be justified, says God, right in my sight, by their works, by the works of the law, or by any other doing of themselves. No, only by grace. Only by grace, my friends, can salvation be brought to you. But the grace of God, the Bible says, that brings salvation, it hath appeared to all men, not given to all men, but, my friends, given to those whom God will give it to. But this grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared in the world. Thing wasn't done in a corner, done before the whole world in history. Sending of God's Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Born of a virgin, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the condemnation of the law. Son of God stepped down into this world. God the Son. Bible tells us God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Nobody else big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to do the job. Not another Moses, prophet, not another apostle. God himself was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God himself had to come, because that's what it takes. Who it takes, my friends, to get you out of that sin nature, to get you out, my friends, of your delight in and love for sin and for wickedness and unbelief. So only by the power of God, the power of his grace, can you be saved. But the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men in the coming of God's only begotten Son. Stepped down into this world, came with purpose, sent for purpose, sent, my friends, not only to live that life that you ought to have lived, but cannot and do not. Impotent, powerless, my friends, against the ravages of sin, against that sin nature in which you were conceived and born. No, powerless, my friends, powerless before your sin nature. But my friends, by the grace of God, the grace that brings salvation, the grace, my friend, that has appeared to all men, the Son of God coming and living that spotless, that blameless, flawless life, no sin in Him, and came, my friends, with the specific purpose of dying for sinners, not for all sinners, not for all men, all women, but dying for His sheep, dying for His people. He came by His atoning death. He came by His death on that cross to rescue, deliver His own people. Those whom He will call by His grace, call out of this world and call to Himself by His grace. His salvation has appeared to all men, declared amongst all men, declared amongst you today. Many, many are called, says Jesus, but few are chosen. Many hear about the grace of God. Many are told about the grace of God, but few that are chosen. Many hear the outward call, hear the voice of a preacher, but they don't hear the voice of the Son of God calling them. They don't hear because they're stone deaf to God. They don't hear because their hearts are hardened. They don't care because they love their sin. They don't hear because they're not God's sheep. They're not chosen. But my sheep, Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. Maybe perhaps you don't hear His voice today. That's maybe because you are not of His sheep. But my sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me, eh? They do my bidding, that is, says Jesus. And I give unto them eternal life. He gives it to them. It's grace, you see. Gratis. Free gratis. Grace is that, my friends, that you don't pay for, work for, or else it's no longer grace. It's no longer free. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, grace of God, free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. My Lord, whom I declare to you today, this grace has appeared to all men, declared promiscuously amongst all men, for all to hear, all to be called, sincerely, seriously called to repent and believe the gospel. But you will not, you cannot, apart from the particular and the free grace of God. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, because that's what you are by nature, ungodly. What you say doesn't mean to be ungodly. It means, my friends, to be contrary to God in your nature, contrary to God in your practice, contrary to God every which way. That's what ungodly is. But the grace of God, you see, mends that. The grace of God changes that from ungodly to godly, changing the nature of the beast, if you like, your nature, your beastly nature, taking out of you, by the grace of God, that nature that hates God and hates your neighbor. This is the natural state, says God, of men and women born into this world. How you come into the world hating God and hating your neighbor, unless by the grace of God your nature's changed. Your hatred for God, of course, is obvious. Your hatred for God in not hearing the call, heeding the call, repenting and believing and receiving the grace of God. your hatred for your neighbor. Is that not writ large over your society today? The murdering, the killing by means of abortion, euthanasia, drugs, violence. Never done killing one another. Killing, killing, killing. Those who hate me, says God, love death. Writ large all over your murderous, killing society, hating God and hating your neighbor. The baby in the mother's womb is your neighbor, whom you are to love. That's the sum of God's commandments. Love for God and love for your neighbor, not hatred. Killing your neighbor is not love. And then, of course, well, all the other transgressions of God's law, the adultery, the fornication, the sodomy, and so it goes on. The ungodliness, my friends, that comes and emits from your sinful natures, can do no other, comes naturally to you. Question posed for you in the Bible by God. He says, can you change the spots on a leopard? Well, you say, no, that's not possible. That's its natural state and condition. He says, can you change a black man's skin or a white man's skin? You know, make the black white and the white black? No, you say, that's their natural state and condition. That's impossible. It would take a miracle to do that. Now says God, how can you who are evil? Evil, says God, that's how he describes you. Not good. How can you who are evil, how can you possibly do good? That too would take a miracle. The miracle of God's grace. To take that hatred out of your heart for God and for your neighbor, to transform and change you. The grace of God, the miracle of God's salvation that changes that ungodliness and brings godliness, that brings a love for God and a love for your neighbor, so you no longer do the abortion, support it, subscribe to it. You no longer do the euthanasia. You no longer do the killing. You no longer do the ungodly. The grace of God teaches you to do otherwise, the opposite, that which is pleasing to God. But only the grace of God does that. All the therapy in the world won't change your nature. It might subdue it for a short time, but it won't change your fundamental nature. That's the problem. The nature of man, the nature of the beast. It needs to be changed. And that takes a miracle. It's what Jesus means when he says ye must be born again. Because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Never see the inside of it. Never experience the kingdom of God, his grace, his love and his favor. Unless, except, you are born again. Ye must be. Not religious. Not religious. You can do that yourself. You can do that quite freely. You don't need my help to do that. You don't need God's help to do that. You got a world full of religion. Islam, Mecca, Watchtower Society, you name it. Anyone that you please. Just go to the mosque, the synagogue, the temple, they'll make you religious. This place behind me here, they'll make you religious. But they won't bring the grace of God to you. Only Jesus Christ can do that. It's what he came for, to bring the grace of God to men and women. That they might be changed, transformed by the grace of God. The ungodliness removed. Made godly and delivered from the worldly lusts, ye of your father the devil, and his lusts will ye do, says the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, you can be so very religious and very diligent and very devoted to your religion, but it doesn't take the lust out of your heart. Doesn't take the lust, the filthy lust out of your heart to cause the broken families, broken marriages. Doesn't take the filthy lust out of men's hearts. Only the grace of God does that. But it does powerfully, I tell you, cleanses and purifies the heart. It's what's needed. Only by the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who shed his blood on that cross, that your heart might be washed. Because unless you are washed, unless you are sprinkled with his blood, you remain defiled, filthy, unclean, unacceptable to God. Like a filthy rag, says God. Your righteousness is even. So you see, my friend, you must needs be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow, says the hymn writer? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You must be. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How does he do that? By his death and his resurrection. Applying his blood to the heart, cleansing, purifying it, removing, taking those filthy lusts out of your heart, so that you think pure thoughts, clean thoughts. Not the murderous, not the adulterous, not the fornicate. Worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world now. When Jesus talks about eternal life, not just pie in the sky when you die, not just life never ending, that's included, certainly. But in this present world, it's possible for a man or woman to live godly, to live without those filthy worldly lusts. Possible for a man or woman to live righteously. Not by your strength, not by your power, not by anything in you, but by the power of God's grace. That's what the grace of God does. It empowers men and women to live the way that they ought to have been living all their days, right from day one. But you see, my friend, you don't. That's the problem, isn't it? Right from day one, right from the very, very first breath that you take, you're sinning against God. Ungodly, unrighteous. Only by the grace of God can the power of that sin be overcome. Can't change your nature. You can't change what you are. A man in the Bible cries out to Jesus amongst all the apostate religion of his day, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Not his sins, but a sinner, my friends. That's what he is. That's what we all are, naturally. That's what you need saving from.
Why not let people make their own mind up?
Well, they can do. You make your mind up. But there's only one way that'll go, and that's down.
Well, no, but nobody's trying to persuade me.
Huh?
Nobody's trying to persuade
me. Well, I am.
That's what I say. Why don't you let them make their own mind up?
Because the only mind they'd make up is to go to hell, sir. To carry on in their sin.
No.
To carry on in their wickedness. That's all they would do.
No.
Can't you see the way the world... You're old enough. Can't you see the way your society's going? Can't you see the wickedness? Can't you see the filth and perversity? Can't you see the murder and killing? You know what the abortion figures are? 12 million innocent children slaughtered under the surgeon's knife in the name of this nation's sexual perversity. And you say make up their own minds. That's their own minds. That's their own minds. Wickedness, they love it. and so the youth are, unless you're born again, unless by the grace of God you're saved, you'll remain just as you are, you'll die as you are, and you'll go to hell sad as you are. Yeah? So like I say, friends, you know, only by the grace of God can the power of your sin nature be changed. It's too strong, it's too much for you. Overpowering you even now as I speak. So, you see, my friends, the grace of God, it brings a person, you know, to turn from their sin, repent, that is, turn from their wicked ways, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, because he won't always be to be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, unrighteous, ungodly way. Let him forsake that way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his wrong thinking. What the Bible calls repentance. Forsaking of your ways that are caused by your unrighteous thinking, wrong thinking. You think the world, the universe is here to revolve around you. God says, I've got news for you. It's not. It was made for my glory, and so were you made to glorify me. But God will have glory from you one way or the other. He'll either be glorified in your salvation or glorified in your damnation. The one of the two. But by the grace of God, my friends, the grace of God, your pathway can be altered. Your thinking, mindset, your worldview can be changed. You bring your mind to the yardstick of God's Word, the Bible, and you align your thoughts with God's thoughts. You begin to agree with Him concerning His creative activity, concerning your damn worthy state and condition in sin, agreeing with God concerning the sending, the necessary sending of His only begotten Son into the world, that by His grace, particular grace, you might be saved. Agreeing with God, aligning your thoughts with God's thoughts, no longer arguing with them. But as long as you've got an argument against the Almighty, well, my friends, there's very little hope for you. No progress there. There, my friends, no. No, humility, submission. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due season. Yielding, submitting yourself to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order that you might be a recipient of this grace of which I speak. And then, of course, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Those who have believed, my friend, those who have trusted in the mighty Son of God, living not just for this world, living, my friend, for the coming Savior. Hope, my friend, hope beyond COVID-19. Hope beyond the cancer. Hope beyond the tsunami. Hope beyond the earthquake. Hope beyond the grave. Hope beyond this world. The blessed hope and the appearing of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's coming again, my friend. Not, I tell you, not in a manger. Not in a cradle. Coming, my friends. Oh, I tell you, or rather God does, coming with His mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance, I tell you, upon all those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. The call of grace, that is. Who obey not the call. What is the call? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Except you repent, says Jesus, ye shall all likewise perish in your sin, that is. in your damn worthy state and condition. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's the call. Comes to you today, my friend. But coming, he says, to take vengeance upon those who do not obey the call of the gospel, who do not know God, not brought into a right relationship, that is, covenant of friendship with God by the grace of God, through the Son of God, by whom the grace of God and the truth of God comes to us and comes to you today, who gave himself for us who believe, that is, not for everybody, but he gave himself for sinners. He gave himself, my friend, that you might avoid such a tragic, drastic end, my friends. Vengeance! Vengeance, my friend! And double, sevenfold, I tell you, for those who have heard the call, for those who have heard the call of the gospel, but would have none of it, refuse, reject, turn from it, despising it, my friend. Double damnation makes you worse than it makes you better. Makes you better or makes you worse, which is it, Stafford, today? Hardening your heart. Oh, my friend, softening, making you think upon these things, eternal matters. Oh, tremble, tremble at the very thought, without the grace of God, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But those who believe not, those who believe not perish, my friends, in their sin. Word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains, abideth upon him. Without the grace of God, it's grace or wrath. Grace or wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth and unrighteousness. Wrath of God revealed already in your world, in your society today. Is wrath or grace? What will it be? Take your pick. Wrath to the uttermost. He is coming. Bible tells me when men and women will be crying down for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb of God. Because he would not hear, would not listen, would not obey the call of the gospel, would not repent, would not believe, would not be entreated, refused, rejected the grace of God. It's grace or wrath, my friend. Grace or wrath, one of the two. Which is it for you? The free grace of God in Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God, stepped down into the world to bring that grace to you. All the way from heaven he came. I only came half an hour from the pottery. Jesus came all the way from heaven's glory to die for wicked sinners, to die for sinners such as you, that you might be turned by the grace of God, that you might be entreated by the grace of God, that you might hear about the grace of God, and that by the grace of God, that you might become a recipient of the grace of God. That is, God happened giving it to you. because God's salvation is all given. It's not taken, it's not your choosing, it's not your working, it's not your doing, it's not your being, it's God's giving. And unless God gives it to you, you go without it. And He gives it to whosoever He pleases to give it to. And He gives it, my friends, to what I'm doing here today, the preaching of the gospel. Foolishness, folly to those who are perishing in their sin. Foolishness, utter folly. That's why you mock and laugh and sneer in your hearts or verbally outwardly. Because it's foolishness to you. So God says in His word, that's the evidence that you're perishing.
What did He say?
Hearing. The only thing that will save you, the grace of God. Save you from your damn worthy state and condition in sin. In your original nature, as you were conceived and as you were born, so shall you die without the grace of God. Lest you hear it, lest you believe it, lest you turn, I tell you, you will burn for all eternity. There's a hell to be shunned, and there's a heaven to be gained. There's the wrath of God to be turned from, and the grace of God to be received. Believe. In order that you might be a recipient of that grace, the love, the kindness, the merciful kindness of God presented to you, set before you today through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you. Who bids you, my friends, today? Who calls you again? Mockers and scoffers and sneerers, every one of you. He calls. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's grace is at hand. That's why. And in order to enter that kingdom of grace, you must needs repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from your unbelief. You must turn. Turn, turn. You must repent and believe the gospel, or you cannot enter God's kingdom. So repent ye and believe the gospel in order that you may enter in. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Read about these things for yourself. See that it's so according to God's word. Offered freely to you, yours, simply and only for the taking. Like a copy of God's word. Come and ask for one. May God bless you, be gracious to you, merciful to you, while you're able, while you have the faculty of mind, of soul, to be able to contemplate upon these things. May God be merciful to your very precious and never, never dying soul. Like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one.